Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, June 19th. Happy Thursday. I'm reading from Acts chapter 26, Luke chapter 7, and Proverbs 19 today. Beginning in Acts chapter 26 in the Message paraphrase, Paul is before King Agrippa, and he is recounting his conversion experience and how it has changed his life. One day on my way to Damascus, armed as always with papers from the high priest authorizing my actions, right in the middle of the day, a blaze of light, outshining the sun, poured out of the sky on me and my companions. O King, it was so bright. We fell flat on our faces. Then I heard a voice in Hebrew, Saul, Saul, why are you out to get me? Why do you insist on going against the grain? I said, who are you, Master? The voice answered, I am Jesus, the one you're hunting down like an animal. But now, up on your feet, I have a job for you. I've handpicked you to be a servant and witness to what happened today and to what I'm going to show you. I'm sending you off to open the eyes of the outsiders so that they can see the difference between dark and light and choose light, see the difference between Satan and God and choose God. I'm sending you off to present my offer of sin forgiven and a place in the family, inviting them into the company of those who began real living by believing in me. What could I do, King Agrippa? I couldn't just walk away from the vision like that. I became an obedient believer on the spot. I started preaching this life change, this radical turn to God, and everything it meant in everyday life, right there in Damascus. Went on to Jerusalem and the surrounding countryside, and from there to the whole world. It's because of this whole world dimension that the Jews grabbed me in the temple that day and tried to kill me. They want to keep God for themselves, but God has stood by me, just as he promised, and I'm standing here saying what I've been saying to anyone, whether king or child, who will listen. And everything I'm saying is completely in line with what the prophets and Moses said would happen. One, the Messiah must die. Two, raised from the dead, he would be the first rays of God's daylight shining on people far and near, people both godless and God-fearing. Before we move on, I just want to encourage you in the same way that Paul did, that you might share your story today. Perhaps that just means writing it down, writing down tidbits of who you were before you knew Christ and who you are now, that you have come to know the saving grace of Jesus. Or maybe if your story is like mine, you have peaks and valleys in your relationship with the Lord. You've come to know him maybe as a little girl, but then there were seasons when you decided that you wanted to live your own way and how God beckoned you back into himself. And so I encourage you to contemplate the redemption that Jesus has provided in your life and, if possible, to share that with someone else. Our second passage today is Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. And this is about Jesus raising the widow's son. Not long after that, Jesus went to the village Nain. His disciples were with him, along with quite a large crowd. As they approached the village gate, they met a funeral procession. A woman's only son was being carried out for burial, and the mother was a widow. When Jesus saw her, his heart broke. He said to her, "Don't cry." Then he went over and touched the coffin. The pallbearer stopped. He said, "Young man, I tell you, get up." The dead son sat up and began talking. Jesus presented him to his mother. They all realized that they were in a place of holy mystery, that God was at work among them. They were quietly worshipful and then noisily grateful, calling out among themselves, "God is back, looking to the needs of his people." The news of Jesus spread all through the country. In this passage, do you recognize how compassionate Jesus was with the woman? Just like we've been reading in our memory verse this week, that Jesus had compassion on the people. He had compassion on her, and it says that his heart broke for her. This is just a good reminder to me of the compassion and greatness and kindness of our Lord. Whatever we are facing, he is understanding, and he longs for us to share with him and to be in right relationship with him. And it also reminds me that as God's people, we are called to be compassionate with others, especially those who are in seasons of grief and are in grief for their whole entire life, that something that has happened to them has forever changed them. And so I'm praying today for sensitivity and for you as well, for those people in our midst, perhaps who have lost a loved one, a spouse, a child, or have had something that was traumatic happen in their experience, that we might be a compassionate touch for them today. Our final reading is Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. And this is about the Lord's purposes prevailing. We humans keep brainstorming options and plans, but God's purpose prevails. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder that you called Paul out and you gave him a testimony. Lord, may everything that happens in our life be used to help us be compassionate to others and also to share of your wonderful greatness in the ways that you have forgiven us and have given us a hope and a future. We also thank you for Luke's gospel and the telling of the raising of the widow's son. Thank you for being compassionate with us in our grief. As we end the podcast today, let's go over our memory verse, Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Let us close in prayer with a liturgy or a prayer from Every Moment Holy. This is Volume 2, Death, Grief, and Hope. A liturgy for a friend of one who grieves. O Christ, I am at such a loss. I want to help, but I don't know what to do or what to say. I don't know how to act in light of everything that's changed. But I know this. I love my friend, and I do not want to let this brooding awkwardness lead me to withdraw until over time my avoidance becomes a pattern that could leave us stranded on opposite sides of an emotional chasm. Give me wisdom, grace, and empathy, O Lord, to simply walk beside, to let my friend lead as they learn to navigate this grief, and not to ever in arrogance believe that I can somehow set them straight or make it right or give advice they do not need from me. Teach me how to set aside my own discomfort so that I might compassionately perceive in the context of their specific loss and their specific need what true encouragement and helpfulness would mean. Above all, let me learn to remain present in their life, not forcing them to speak of loss, but being ever ready to listen, to share their tears, to steward their story, however much they choose to entrust to me. And so let me serve my dear friend well by a close and constant willingness to bear some small part of their long burden. Amen.